If you'd like to follow along with this reading in your pew Bible, Jeremiah 31. Let's listen for the word of the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to our gospel lesson out of the Gospel of Mark. We're in the fourth chapter, and I'm sort of taking a little snippet out of this entire chapter. It's all a series of teachings and parables, and we're just going to look at two of those short parables dealing with the kingdom of God. So let us listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can you compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The word of the Lord. The clock was ticking. The pressure was on. The election was over. He'd been inaugurated. And now the people wanted to know, could he, would he do it? Could he fulfill the promises that he made on the campaign trail? Would he be able to change this nation and bring it back to the nation that people knew it could be? He had his 100 days, and the question was, in those 100 days, would Franklin Delano Roosevelt be able to bring this country out of the Great Depression? Now, I know some of you were thinking I was talking about somebody else. But the reality is, every president who has been elected in the modern era has come into office with the clock ticking, with pressure on. Maybe it was a hot war or a cold war. Maybe it was unemployment or inflation. Maybe it was even stagflation. Now, those of you who weren't around in the 70s probably have no idea what stagflation is. Go look it up on Wikipedia. But whatever it was, when you are elected, you have campaigned, you have made promises, you have said, this is what I am going to accomplish, and the pressure is on. The pressure is on from everybody for you to carry it out and to do it. And as we all know, it's not just people who have campaigned for office. Any of us who have ever worked in a business, big or small, when you have brought in a new CEO, a new president, a new person in your division, the pressure is on, the clock is ticking, and everyone wants to see results. And my guess is it was no different with Jesus. If we think back to a couple of weeks ago, Jesus lays out, as Reverend Joanne talked about 3 weeks ago, he sort of lays out his agenda. His agenda is to bring into the world this new kingdom of God, this kingdom of God where there are lentils in every pot and a donkey in every garage, where there is freedom religiously, freedom politically. It is this wonderful new world, and he said, listen, in my coming, this new world is unfolding before you. So you can imagine the pressure everywhere that he went. The people were asking, okay, Jesus, where is it? Where is this kingdom? I want to see it. We've been waiting for it for 400 years. We need it. We want it now. And you would think then that Jesus would sort of leap into it and make it happen. Yeah, but he doesn't. He doesn't. Instead, he tells these strange parables about waiting. Well, yeah, the kingdom of God, what's it like? Oh, it's like a seed you plant in the ground, and the seed takes its time, and it germinates, and then after it germinates, it grows, and after it grows, then it gets a head on it, and after it gets a head on it, then, well, eventually the grain comes about. So just, it's all about waiting for the kingdom of God. Or it's like a mustard seed. You plant this tiny little seed, and months go by and years go by, and finally it gets really big and it becomes the kingdom of God. It's like Jesus didn't feel any pressure at all. He was just going to do what he was going to do, and if the kingdom of God didn't come, well, then it didn't come. And just no pressure. And what's interesting about that is that that has sort of been the way the church has looked at bringing about the kingdom of God, as if it is this long-term project, and so we should feel under absolutely no pressure to bring it about. Now, granted, for those of you who are sort of familiar with the early church, the church right after Pentecost, they seemed to have this great urgency to bring about the kingdom. And they did everything they could to design a community that looked like the kingdom of God. Everyone had enough. Everyone shared what they had. People were taken care of. Everyone was welcomed. Jew, Greek, slave, free, male, female. It was this incredibly inclusive community. But then, when the kingdom didn't show up, and they kept looking at their Julian calendars and going, well, there's another week gone by and it's not here, another month, another year. And they kept tapping on their sundials on their wrists going, you know, where's Jesus? The kingdom is supposed to be here. Is this thing working? And so then the church sort of moved out of that urgency and went into this long-term view of the kingdom of God, eventually coming to the place where, and for those of you in my Saturday morning class, I talked about this. I watched a video online from one of the nation's sort of premier Calvinist preachers, not a member of our denomination, but another Presbyterian denomination, and he said, well, we not only can we not bring the kingdom of God about, we shouldn't even try. The only thing we should do is tell people about Jesus Christ. And the guy sort of pushed him and he said, no, that's it. Just tell people about Jesus. God will take care of everything else. And what I found myself doing was agreeing with him on one point, sort of agreeing with him, and that is, no matter how much I would like to say otherwise, we can't bring the kingdom of God about. We can't take angry, mean, spiteful people and turn them into really nice people. We just don't have the ability to do that. We can't change people's hearts. We can't really change people's minds. We can't create an economic system in which everybody has enough. Now, I know we'd like to say we could, but this is where the economist in me comes out. You look at the history of economics, and we've tried all sorts of things. We've tried free enterprise, we've tried socialism, we've tried communism, we've tried national socialism, we've tried all sorts of things, and none of them have brought about this perfect world, this perfect economic system. And so no matter what we do, ultimately the kingdom of God is something that only God can ultimately and finally bring into the world. Because only God can change hearts, only God can realign the world. This is ultimately God's work. So in that sense, in that piece of it, I agreed with him. But then there was a sense that I didn't agree with him. And that was that the only thing we ought to be talking about is Jesus. Now, let me be clear. We ought to be talking about Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ, both individually and collectively, we find the power of God, which is able, as Amy said in the prayer of confession, that in Jesus Christ we are made new people. That Jesus Christ has the power to transform us and renew us. That Jesus Christ has the power to take disparate people and make them into a single united community. That in Jesus Christ, the new in the world comes. So yes, we ought to be talking about Jesus Christ and the power of faith in him. But we also ought to be doing something else. And that is living as kingdom people. Now, one of the things that the church over the centuries did when it sort of went into this long-term view of the kingdom, one of the things it did was it wanted to show people what the kingdom would look like. And it did it through architecture. How many of you have ever been to the Hagia Sophia or to one of the great cathedrals of Europe? Right? So those are intended to be places where one feels like one has entered into the kingdom of God, this great, beautiful space. And they did it not just through architecture, they did it through the liturgy. Okay? They said, here's this beautiful liturgy of movement and music and language and smells, and this is what the kingdom of God is going to be like. Well, guess what, folks? You and I, we are called to be those people who show the world what the kingdom of God looks like. We are called to be kingdom people. So that if people want to know what this kingdom looks like, they're not going to look at the architecture of our spaces, or they're not going to look at the liturgy we have. They are going to be looking at us. And what you and I are called to be is we are called to be light to the world. We are called to be salt to the earth. That when people feel hopeless and discouraged, they are to be able to look at us and see in us the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and kindness of Jesus Christ. They are to look at us and see that it is possible to love and forgive our enemies. They are to look at us and see what it means to be light in the world. In us, they are to find that hope for which they are so desperately longing. Individually and collectively, we are to be those people who stand for justice. We follow the way of the prophets. and we stand against oppression and for justice. We are those who are to speak for those for whom no one else speaks. Why? Because this is what the kingdom looks like. This is what kingdom people do. And the gift is that you and I are capable of doing that. On the one hand, I've taken pressure off of you because you don't have to create the kingdom of God. Okay? So just pull that pressure off. You don't have that. But the pressure I put back on you and me is that we are to be those kingdom people. But the gift is we're able to do it. We're able to do it because we are those new covenant people that Jeremiah talks about. That Jeremiah says, listen, I'm going to take this law of God that is summed up in love God, love neighbor, and I'm going to write it on your hearts. So that you don't even need anyone to teach you what that looks like. It is inside of you. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, guess what, folks? It's in there. It is in there. It is within us. It has been written on our hearts. It's part of our DNA. It is part of our operating system. And because of that, we can shine our light into the world. Today, as you all know, is our annual meeting. And one of the things we get to do is we get to look back over the last year and see what the church did. And when you all see that, and if you're not here, you'll be able to watch it online, what I want you to see is light. That what we do here in this place, what we do outside of this place, is that we have been shining light into the world. And I know so many of you and the things that you do to shine light into the world that aren't through this church, but you just do them out in the world. I should have on sunglasses this morning because I truly believe that the light that shines from this community is tremendous and amazing. You, we are a community of light to the world. And so I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for all that you do to be kingdom people in the world. But at the same time, to challenge you not to quit doing. To challenge you to keep on being that light in the world. Though we can't create the kingdom, we can be those people to whom others turn and find love and welcome and hope in a world that often has so little of it. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you equip us and call us to be kingdom people. Help us to be your light in the world, that all who need it might find us. In Christ's name, amen.